All right. I know we are a church that loves. I know we are. Woo. Man almighty. We are friendly. If you're a guest here today and you just got mauled, welcome to MCC. But we are glad you're here if you're visiting with us, or if you're an old friend or a new friend. We are just glad you are here today. We are so excited, like I said earlier, about this season and what it reminds us of. And I just need to say good morning and Merry Christmas. Well, come on now. Let's try again. I guess we're done. Everybody pray. Man. Woo. Man, all right. We're good now. All right. Good morning and Merry Christmas. All right, before I get started, if you are a kid that's in the musical that has a speaking part, just speaking parts, we don't have junior church today, but if you have a speaking part, go back to the fellowship hall. Polly's going to run through with those because we only have 2 weeks to go. So, Polly's going to run through. My beautiful wife is going to take the ones that have speaking parts back to the fellowship hall for a run through. So, if you have a speaking part, head back. Whew, almost forgot that. You know, I want to welcome you here today. Like I said, we're kicking off our Christmas series, and our series is entitled, Christmas Is. And today we're kicking it off with, Christmas is coming. Is coming. Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's here. Like it or not, love it or not, it's coming. If you haven't figured out from all the social media, the TV, the store decorations, and the fact that, and it was good too, Thanksgiving has passed, let me be the one to break it to you. Christmas is coming. For those of you, like I said, who are new to MCC or visiting today, you may not know that right after college, I began a career in retail that lasted about 12 years, with 10 of them spent at Circuit City. So in honor of that, I wore one of my retail ties today. It's very festive, right? I used to have, believe it or not, I used to have one for each day between Thanksgiving and Christmas to wear different to the stores, but I don't anymore. But I kept a few. So if I was still in retail right now, which, thank you that I'm not, I would be smack dab in the middle of the most important time of the year for the company and the store. American retailers do on average, and this is according to the National Retail Federation, about 30% of their yearly sales in around 6 weeks. Some do a little less, some do a little more, but its average is around 30%. In fact, retailers over the holidays do over $600 billion. Let me say that again. $600 billion. That is how much money is spent on average in our retail stores around America in a year. And how do they get us, the consumer, ready? That's right, they advertise. And have events like lowest prices of the sale, or lowest prices of the season sale, I should say. And this past week was probably the biggest retail advertising push of the year, with the pre-Black Friday sales, the Gray Thursday sales, and the Black Friday sales. Oh, wait! And of course, coming this Monday, Cyber Monday. I mean, we were inundated. You didn't have to turn on a TV. You didn't even have to go on the internet. All you had to do is read a paper, or you saw your neighbors. They were all out there in a big family group with a whiteboard going, okay, you go here, I'm going to this store, we're going to this store. They planned out everything. Christmas shopping season is here, folks. And many times, there are people that still get blindsided by Christmas. They honestly can't believe it's here. I've had a Christmas like that, week before Christmas. Oh, tree looks bare. Oh, yeah! We still got to get gifts. We can get blindsided by it. Now, I think whoever came up with the retail plan on how to prepare the stores for Christmas must have looked at God's plan on how to tell the world about Jesus. Now, I know some of you are looking skeptical. That's okay. I'm going to prove it to you. Let's take a look at how God put the world on notice about the greatest gift of all time. How he has given us plenty of advanced notice. God has given us advanced notice that Christmas is coming. We're going to start in the Old Testament. That's at the beginning of your Bible, where there are many prophecies about Jesus. And I want to take a look at one particular one in Isaiah. It comes from Isaiah 7. Looking at Isaiah 7, you'll find that that the political situation surrounding Jerusalem was becoming volatile. The nearby countries of Syria and Israel had formed an alliance and sought to conquer Jerusalem. So God sent the prophet Isaiah to speak to Ahaz, God's message. Don't be afraid, you will not be defeated. And then in rather uncharacteristic fashion, God says to Ahaz, through Isaiah, Ahaz, ask me for a sign. Did you catch that? God asked Ahaz to ask him for a sign. We usually do that ourselves, right? Oh, Lord, if you are with me today, give me some kind of sign. I don't care what it is. Maybe coffee's already ready when I get downstairs, or the car starts, or I hit every green light, whatever. Whatever it is, just give me a sign. But God asked Ahaz to ask him to give him a sign. This was similar to when Gideon asked God for a sign so he could make sure he was walking in God's will. You see, Ahaz was considering a treaty of his own with Assyria, which God did not want him to do. So the opportunity remains open for Ahaz to affirm his faith and act as a believer. Basically, God says, ask me for a sign so you can believe I will protect you. Ahaz says, no, I won't put God to the test. Very pious sounding words, which really say, no, I won't believe God. I want to do it my way. I'll scheme to make a backroom alliance with one of the most vicious armies of all time. I'll strive to keep my practices as an idol worshiper. Maybe I'll even aspire to become more powerful as a king in the process. But no, I won't trust God with the fate of the city of Jerusalem. But despite Ahaz's response to God, God makes an astounding promise in words first given through Isaiah to Ahaz. It is a promise that will free us all of us, from a life dominated by busyness, worldly stress, if we embrace it. Look at Isaiah 7, verse 10. Later the Lord sent his message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want. As high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah said, listen well, your royal family of David, isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of God as well? Now right there I changed my mind. You know what, I'll ask him something. I don't want to exhaust God's patience. But not Ahaz. But Isaiah continues, all right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God let us know through the leaders of the time and servant that a Savior was coming. He put the world on notice that Christmas is coming. He set his vision, his Christmas plan in motion. So now the vision is clear. Well, clear for God, but it's out there for the world to see. And the plan is in place. It is time to execute the plan on earth. Well, just like the lovely retailers prepare consumers for Black Friday with pre-Black Friday sales that have become really annoying and overdone, to be honest, God did something to prepare the way for Jesus. Only God's way was rad. God's way was awesome and amazing, much more than those lovely ads you see on television this time of year. Whew, I'll tell you what, this sanctuary is the hottest the stores are during this time of year. Whew. Listen as God lets us know how he is laying out the red carpet for Jesus' arrival. We're going to look at Luke 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 6. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, right here, it just talks about Zechariah was, and his job was to go to the temple and burn incense. But while he was there, God showed up. Take a look at verse 13. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. Well, right there, if I was in his shoes, I'd have fainted. I mean, up there in years, the next thing you know, God's saying, you're going to have a son. Woo! I'm not ready. But that's okay, Zechariah, he stands firm. He sits there. I'm probably in shock, but he stayed alert. You will have great joy and gladness, and many of you will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. All right, if the first thing didn't get me to pass out right there. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord. What a promise. He must never touch wine or other alcohol drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. Whoa! Man, before his birth. I mean, we get the Spirit, you know, once we accept Christ and baptize. Woo, we get the Spirit. He got it before he was even born on the earth. Wow. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord, their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. God's setting his plan in motion as the one who will prepare the people for the coming of Jesus is now on his way. This in turn tells us that Christmas is coming. John's coming to prepare the way. We don't know how long yet, but John is coming to prepare the way, which means if he's preparing the way for somebody, somebody has to be coming. John's laying out the red carpet, just like the retailers. If they want you to come, they got to lay out those ads, get those big deals out there. They got to prepare the way so that when you come, they're ready. And that's what they're doing here with John. Man, God, he's awesome. He is just so awesome in the little details and how he does things. So God has given us advance notice. Now he has prepared the way. Christmas is coming. So now it's time to let the people and thus the world know that the time is now upon them. The time is now. If we continue in the first chapter of Luke, we find that God lets Mother Mary know, which is a good thing. Don't want her surprised in 9 months, right? So God lets Mother Mary know. If you look in that chapter and you move down to verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." I want this visit. Wow. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son and will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Woo! What a promise. What a promise. Well, after this encounter, Mary, of course, has to go tell her husband-to-be about God's plan and her part in that plan. And I imagined it probably would have gone something like this. Take a look.
"Sweetie, are you listening?"
"Mary, I've said it once, so I'll say it again. I can do two things..."
"Two things at once, yes, I know. But we really need to talk. And Joseph..."
"Yeah?"
"I need you to listen."
"I am listening so hard right now. You can't even imagine how much I'm concentrating on you and the words."
"I'm overwhelmed by your concentration. Can you just stop for a second, please?"
"Mary, I would love to stop for a second, but I can't."
"Why not?"
"We're going to be married soon, and I just want everything to be perfect."
"Joseph, I love your heart. I really do. But, you know, not everything has to be perfect, and that's okay, because we don't know what life is going to throw at us, you know?"
"Right, but I still want a house worthy of you, and to do that, I've got to work, because a man's..."
"Man has got to have a plan."
"Have I mentioned that before?"
"A time or two."
"Mary, I have so many plans for us. This table... this is where we're going to have our meals together, and I've made it big enough for to seat some little ones, for down the road, of course."
"About that..."
"Where did I put that chisel?"
"Joseph, I need to tell you something. Something unbelievable."
"Did I put it in that shelf?"
"I was visited by an angel."
"Yeah?"
"And he told me that I was highly favored."
"Mm-hmm."
"And it felt like a dream until he told me something. The instant he said it, I knew that it was true.
I just used it. I just had it.
Joseph, are you listening to me?
Yeah, that sounds really great.
Joseph.
Got it.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah, I heard it. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Because, you know, she was still virgin. They had not, you know, I would have dropped the chisel. But other than that, I could have imagined something very similar to that conversation happening. So now Joseph's got a decision to make. So God also decides to let him know directly with a visit from an angel about his plan. And that Christmas is coming. If you want to move back in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be starting in verse 20. If not, it's just up on the screen there. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Which is going back to that first prophecy we talked about. God's plan, it's in full motion. It's going now. It is rolling now. It's moving straight ahead, and Christmas is coming. And 9 months later or so, the baby is here, and God has joined us here on earth. Amen? Now, Jesus came to earth to save us all. And that's why we celebrate Christmas each year, to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior. Christmas has come. I don't like that term, remember. It's not so much to remember. It's about celebrating it. We should remember it all year long. But it's about celebrating it. It's about showing the world, taking the opportunity to let the world in on the greatest gift of all time. Christmas has come. So let us celebrate. But this story, it's not over yet. No, not yet anyway. Christmas has come, and guess what? Christmas is coming. No, I'm not talking about the holiday. I guess I probably should have said, Christmas is coming again. Christmas is coming again. Just like the retailers remind us earlier and earlier every year that Christmas is coming back, God and Jesus himself tells us that Christmas, or Jesus, is coming back. Right after Peter interrupts Jesus at the Last Supper and Jesus predicts Peter's denial, he finishes this thought. He was getting ready to tell him something great. Peter jumps in and says, no, I want to go wherever you go. I'll die for you. And Jesus predicts his denial, and Peter's shocked, like, no way. But then in John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. He's coming back. Jesus made his promise directly to the disciples. You can go to Acts and check out what Luke wrote. Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah, for he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but he is coming back. Christmas is coming again. Then, if that's not enough, just go all the way to the end of the Bible. Head to Revelation 22, when John is writing about his vision, and Jesus spoke. He says, verse 12, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The story hasn't finished yet because He hasn't come back, but He is coming. Christmas is coming again. Jesus is coming back. Let me ask you all something. As the Christmas holiday gets closer and you run into people in passing or here at church or at work or whatever, what's the one question we always seem to ask each other? What is it we always ask when we run into you? You know, you say, hi, how you doing? And you ask a question. What question is that? What was that? Are you ready? Have you bought all your gifts? Are you ready for Christmas? So let me ask you all, have you finished your shopping? Or let me ask it another way. The Christmas is coming. Are you ready? If you're not, let me encourage you to spend some time in the Scriptures. And if you want, I don't have time to read a whole Bible. If you don't, fine. Go to chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew. Just look at those two chapters at first. Look at it. Jesus tells us all we need to know about what to expect and how to be ready. In these chapters, He talks about how we will not know of when He's coming, but He is going to return. He talks about being faithful to what He gives us and how we should use that for His kingdom. He says, He tells us in there to watch out for false teachers. And also in there, He tells us to be, how to be one of His sheep. It's the game plan, folks. It's in those two chapters. It's all throughout the Bible. But if you need a focus, just focus on Matthew 24 and 25. But please, don't hesitate. Spend some time anywhere in His Word today. Do not wait. Christmas is coming. That's why on Wednesday or Thursday morning and the rest of the time of year, it was heavy this year, right? Those ads don't matter. It doesn't matter how big your Christmas tree is, how bright it is, whether it's color lights or white lights. It doesn't matter whether you have George Schoonover's front lawn or you have Pastor David's. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you got the deal on Black Friday, whether you got the thing you wanted. Heck, it doesn't matter what's on your coffee cup. It doesn't matter. Coffee tastes the same. It's overpriced, but it tastes the same. But it doesn't matter at all. None of these things matter. All that matters is that the first Christmas has come. Our Savior was born. And that Christmas is coming. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said, He'll be back. Jesus will be back. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let me get real with you for a minute. Please, please don't let the holiday season come and go without telling someone about Jesus, His birth, and that Christmas, that Jesus is coming back. Don't miss this opportunity. The world may be all about consumerism, but we know the real meaning of the season. Don't miss the opportunity to do it. Don't. And if you are here in this auditorium today and haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, there is no need to delay. There is none. Kick off the Christmas holiday season right and come down as we sing our invitation here in a moment. Don't let fear hold you back. Come down and receive the single greatest gift imaginable. The gift of Christmas. The grace that is afforded anyone who says yes to Jesus. I believe I am ready to follow you. Accept the amazing gift. The true Christmas. I want you all to enjoy this holiday season, if at all possible. Have fun with friends and family. Give a gift or two. Size extra large and shirts for me. Give a gift or two. Share. Give to the world. Help out Helping Hands towards whatever it is. Help out a neighbor. The biggest gift you can give anybody, though, is telling them about Jesus. And that Christmas is coming again. And guess what? I can't wait! I can't wait. I cannot wait. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to be here and to lift you up. More importantly, to gather around and know that you are the true reason for the season. That you are coming back. Christmas is coming, and we could not be more excited. If there's someone here today, Lord, that needs your heart open, needs their heart open and needs their head freed, let them know we're here for them. Give them the shove. We're here. If we need a shove to go talk to a neighbor or talk to a friend about you, give us that shove. Help us open our hearts to what you have planned this Christmas holiday season so that we can tell people that Christmas has come and Christmas is coming again. It's in your name we pray. Amen.